Hi, and welcome to the Maybe Running Will Help podcast, the show that explores the why of running for people who love to run. I'm your host, Nikki Tamburino, also known as One Classy Mother Runner on Instagram. I'm a certified running coach, mind and body fitness coach, and yoga teacher. But most importantly, I'm a runner. With over 12 years of experience racing marathons, I know a thing or two about running and how it transforms lives. From confidence to humility and goal crushing to soul crushing, I've personally experienced the highs and lows of our sport. And what I've come to realize is that running is about more than just performance and PRs. And that's what this show is all about. Our topics and guests help us explore the why of running because running can help, sometimes in ways we never expected. If you like this show, please be sure to like, follow, rate, and review us wherever you stream your podcasts. It helps us reach more people who need our community. Thank you for tuning in. Now let's get started. Hi, everyone. I am coming to you straight from my treadmill today. I am in a step contest at work, so I got this really nice treadmill desktop accessory, and I decided to do the podcast from here. So feel free to join me on a walk or run or listen in the car, wherever. But you're going to hear the treadmill probably and my feet. And so I just wanted to let you know what was going on. Today, I wanted to do an episode on running your first marathon. Fall is going to be here before we know it. And training for fall marathons is going to be here even quicker. Many people will begin training for their fall races in June. And if you're running a later fall race like New York or CIM, you might start training in July or August. But I wanted to go over the basics just to kind of help out anyone who is running their first marathon. Sometimes I forget what it's like to be a new runner. And so I wrote down a list of questions that I have gotten or that I have actually as a new like trail runner. So I'm fairly new to running a trail. And so a lot of these questions, I feel like such a beginner and I'm like, these are the things that I want to know. So I'm going to tell you the answers to these questions as an experienced marathon runner and as an RRCA certified coach. So a lot of these answers are going to be based on my coaching experience and my training experience. I have run marathons for over a decade, and I've been coaching for probably the last 4 or 5 years. So that is where the expertise is coming from. And I feel confident in the information that I'm giving you with this experience. So I want to get started with maybe the first question you would have as you consider signing up for a marathon. And that is, how hard is it to run a marathon? And I'm going to answer this by saying it depends. And you'll hear that a lot during this podcast episode. So how hard your marathon is going to be is going to depend greatly on how prepared you are to run the marathon. It's going to depend on how fast you run the marathon, how well you pace during the marathon, and how well you fuel during the marathon. So these are all very important factors that we will talk about more as we go through the podcast. But really, your first marathon experience is going to be a whole lot of learning. The number one thing to know when you run a marathon is that it is not easy. And I think where people get in trouble is kind of not respecting the distance. It's 26.2 miles is a long way, and a lot can happen in those 3, 4, 5 hours. So it's good to wrap your head around the challenge that you're taking on. It's doable. And the most important thing is that you train and that you're prepared. And that way we'll have your best race and the best experience. That said, I can tell you that my very first marathon experience was not a great experience. I didn't know anything about fueling. I ran a half marathon before I ran a marathon and thought that it was going to be easy because the half marathon wasn't too bad. And I was like, how much harder is it going to be to run 2 half marathons? Like, I just went in, my expectations were not, you know, in the right place. So I think having the right expectations when you go in is important. And the other things that we'll talk about as we talk about what training looks like and kind of the things that you need to do throughout training to make sure that you're prepared. Another question is maybe what kind of base should you have before you start marathon training? So a lot of programs will require you to have the ability to run 8 miles at one time before you start training for the marathon. So before you start on a 16-week training program, that's a pretty fair baseline to have, because one of the most important runs you're going to have during the week is going to be your long run, and it will probably start somewhere around 10, 12, 14 miles based depending on your experience. So you want to have that good, like being able to run at least 8 miles at one time, or run walk. I should say that you can run walk as well at one time. As I said, the training period typically lasts for a marathon 16 weeks, so that's about 4 months. And I think the next question is probably what that time commitment looks like during those 16 weeks. So this again, it's going to depend on you, how your body is. And if you're running your first marathon, a lot of this is very exploratory. Like you want to be very careful. You want to start off slowly. You don't want to take on too much too soon. If you overtrain, you will get into the injury, all of the injury problems, shin splints, all that is due to overtraining. So how much you train is really going to have to do with your body, your age, and your lifestyle. I would say the expectations would be to be able to run at least 4 or 5 times a week, knowing that you have a long run on the weekend, which is going to take up a couple hours, up to 3 hours, for your longest long run. And during the week, your runs are probably gonna, I would say you need to give yourself about an hour for your runs during the week. So that's kind of what the time commitment looks like from a running standpoint. As far as strength training, during marathon training, runners are notorious for just running. Strength training is important, especially for us older runners. So I recommend strength training twice a week. They should ideally be on days that you run, because when you have rest days, you really want to use those days to let your body recover and rest. And you want to have at least a day in between your weight training days, strength training days. So that's kind of like what the training looks like from a weekly perspective. Now, let's talk a little bit about gear. Most importantly, are going to be your shoes. Don't be like me and choose your shoes based on the color or how they look, or if they go with your favorite, athletic top. You really want to be making sure that you have the right type of shoe for your foot, for your arch, for your pronation, and so you're going to want to go to a running store or somewhere that will fit you specifically for a running shoe. This is an important step that a lot of people skip. They think that they can just put on any shoe and go out and run. And that may be true and may have worked for your friend, whatever. But if you want to avoid injury, go get fitted for a shoe. Make sure that you are wearing the right shoes as you start training. Marathon training is hard on your body. And the more time you spend running in the wrong equipment, the more likely it is that you're going to be injured. So we want to just start off literally on the right foot by getting the right type of shoes for your foot. The other thing to note about shoes is you might be surprised to find out when you get fitted that your shoe size is going to be a lot bigger than your normal shoe size. I probably wear an 8.5 in regular shoes, and my running shoe size is a 9.5. You want to have space in your toe box. You do not want your toes jamming into the front of your shoe. That's how you lose toenails. That's also how you get injured. Any of these things that affect anything that affects your comfort, whether it's your shoe or you have a slight tightness in one side, whatever, that's going to affect your entire body because running is an entire body sport. So if you're feeling a little uncomfortable in your shoes, your stride is going to be off. That's going to make you more prone to injury. Make sure that you have shoes that fit your feet. Cannot say that enough. The other thing to note, if you have a shoe, it's a little bit bigger than you're used to, you feel like your foot is sliding around in your shoe. You don't want it to be too big, but if you have an issue where the shoe fits your foot, but you feel like you're sliding or something, there is a lacing technique. It's called a shoe lock. Look it up. I actually think I have a video on YouTube on how to do it, but it will keep your foot in place and just might help you feel more comfortable. So don't give up on a shoe because if you're don't be like, oh, the shoe is too big. It is really important to have that space in the front of your shoe. Okay. What other gear is needed? So I'm sort of like a minimalist when it comes to running. I don't use a hydration vest or anything like that. Winter training is a little different. You do need some different gear for the cold weather, but we're coming into, summer, so I'm not going to get too far into the extra accessories that you need for winter training. So carrying a water bottle, like I don't carry a water bottle, but I think it's a great idea. So a water bottle that you carry is a great idea. And getting used to carrying a water bottle is something that's important if you're gonna be carrying one during a race. Which brings me to another point. Anything that you're going to be doing during the race is a good idea to practice in training. So there'll be other things that come up through this conversation, but if you plan on carrying a water bottle, it's a good idea to practice. Also, belts, like a running belt to keep your gels in, which we'll talk more about gels. Or if you want to carry your phone, like practice with all the stuff that you plan on bringing during the race. I personally do run with a belt. Some people are like, no, I run with my phone. Well, I run with my phone because it's a safety thing for me. And I also, it's how I stream my music. So and if somebody calls me, like, I want to have, like, when my kids or something, I want to have my phone on me. So I do run with a belt. I keep my phone in it, and I also keep my gels in it. So when we talk about gels and running with fuel and water and these sorts of things, this is going to be especially important on your longer runs. So runs that are over 90 minutes long, you're going to want to make sure that you have fuel. You're going to want to make sure that you have hydration. And on those long runs, if you are not carrying a water bottle, you want to make sure that you have planned water stops on your run because staying hydrated is really important, especially in the summer. It is so easy to get overheated and to get into more serious health complications with the heat. So you want to make sure that you stay hydrated. When we talk about gels, we're talking about goo or the Martens or there's stuff that you can chew, like the honey stingers. These are all different kinds of fuel that you can have for your run. And you want to be taking them every 30 to 40 minutes during your run. You want to keep your energy. And if you're not fueling, you are going to feel that. And it's probably the number one reason why people fizzle out during a run is because they're not properly fueled. So it's going to be really important that you try different fuels, find out something that works with you, and then stick with it for the last, I don't know, the last few weeks of training at least. So that's fuel. Another question is, can I walk during marathon? Absolutely, you can walk during a marathon. Some marathon training plans have walk run programs where you're running and taking walk breaks throughout the marathon. There is actually a training program that includes that in it. And so you can absolutely run. I mean, you can absolutely walk during a marathon. I sometimes personally choose to walk through the water stops. So I'll run, and then during the water stops, which at a race are typically every 2 to 3 miles, I will take, 15 seconds and walk and drink my water and then start running again. Because learning how to run and drink is a skill, and I have not yet mastered it. Let's see. Training, like different training terrains and training in bad weather, all that stuff. I want to talk about that for a minute. So, if you're training for a race that has hills, so we're talking Boston, we're talking New York, and those two majors are the ones that come to my mind. But if you're training on a course that hills, you want to practice on hills. Again, you want to be practicing and training on anything that you're going to encounter during the race. So, Baltimore, hills. You're going to want to make sure that you're doing hill trainings, hill workouts, and on your long run, incorporating some hills. So be aware of that. And let's talk about bad weather. Obviously, unsafe weather, lightning, any in the winter ice, anything that's unsafe and you could risk an injury, that's don't run. Okay. But when we're talking cold weather, uncomfortable weather, rain, the reason that runners run through these conditions is because sometimes on race day, it rains. Sometimes on race day, it's cold. Sometimes on race day, it's hot. So getting your body used to running through these conditions is really, really important. So keep that in mind when you wake up in the morning and it's pouring down raining and you're like, only a crazy person would run in this. We run in it to prepare for race day because race day is unpredictable. We don't know what the weather's going to be like. Let's see. Okay, worst advice. The worst advice I have seen given to runners is to skip breakfast before a run. Oh, this is so annoying. People will tell you to skip eating and skip breakfast before a run because it will burn more calories and burn more fat. This is a terrible idea for marathon training. You are going to break down muscle. You are going to get tired more quickly. It's a bad idea. You want to eat something little, some simple carbs before you go for a run. It doesn't have to be a huge meal. It shouldn't be a huge meal. One thing that a lot of us really like are graham crackers. Eat like two sheets of graham crackers before a weekly run, or maybe four sheets before a long run, or Pop-Tarts. One Pop-Tart during the week, two Pop-Tarts before a long run. Get these simple carbs in your system. It's going to greatly enhance your performance during the run. And you're going to feel better. Okay. Worst, that is the worst advice I've ever heard. Don't do that. Most significant things I learned over the past decade. Okay. Most significant things I've learned. I already want to say that one, training with other people makes you faster, makes you work harder, makes it easier to get out of bed, and makes you hold yourself more accountable. So I have trained both by myself and I have trained with groups, and always when I'm training with other people, do I have a better race? Because I am more motivated, I am pushed a little bit harder, and my chances of actually showing up are greater. Another significant thing I have learned is that rest days are important. When you rest, your body gets a chance to recover. And sometimes during marathon training, you will be exhausted. You need those rest days, at least one or two a week, that you are completely not doing anything. You allow your body to recover. And so that the next run, you have the energy and your body is stronger. Rest days, super, super important. What else are some significant things I learned over the past decade? Dress like it's 20 degrees warmer than whatever the temperature is when you start to run. I am notorious for overdressing, and it's just, I do it. I resign because I like to be comfortable when I get out the door. Don't ever dress. Let's see. Some people are curious about the average finish time for first-time marathoners. I looked this up. It's around 4 hours and 21 minutes. That is exactly what my first marathon time was. For, I think it was, around 4:20 something. And so that is what it looks like. That is the average finish time for a marathoner. Oh, okay. How do I figure out my pace? If you have run other races, say you have run a half marathon, but you've never run a marathon before, your marathon pace is going to be about 30 to 40 seconds slower than your half marathon pace. So if you ran a half marathon and your pace was, a 9:30, expect that your marathon pace is going to be about a 10-minute mile. If you're working with a coach, you can depend on them to help you figure out your pacing. I personally, if I'm working with somebody who is inexperienced at racing, maybe hasn't run a half marathon before, I like to start off giving effort-based workouts. I actually prefer this even for experienced runners sometimes if pacing is causing stress. So know that you can definitely race and run by effort and not stress about your pace, especially in the beginning. I think that might cover most of the questions I've seen as far as getting started. Oh, I know what I want to talk about. Group training versus private coaching versus looking up a training plan online. I'll give you the benefits of all of them and sort of a couple of ways that you can decide the best option for you. So let's start with looking up a training plan online. Benefits are obviously it's free. They're usually good training plans. If you get, you'll be able to go into the site and see if it's a running coach. A lot of running coaches offer free training plans on their site. So it's probably a well put together training plan, and it's a great option if you're trying to cut costs and you don't mind training alone. The drawbacks to an online training plan is it's not personalized to your lifestyle and you're not running, with a group or whatever, which makes it a little bit harder to hold yourself accountable for training. It's very easy to have a printout of a training plan and just be like, I don't really feel like doing that. So when you have to hold yourself accountable, it makes it a little bit more difficult. And training for marathons hard, so any support that you can get is a good idea. So that's what I'll say about that. Pulling a free training plan online, running with a group. So running with a group, you'll find it motivating to be with other people who also are new and going to be struggling with the same things you are. And it's just great to have people around to share in the misery and the excitement of marathon training. So that is group training. The last option is private coaching. Private coaching is maybe for people who maybe have crazy schedules and they're unable to train with a group because their schedules are so unpredictable. They're going to be a little bit more expensive than group training, obviously more expensive than a free training pool from online. But the benefits are that you will get a completely personalized training plan to you, to your life, and you will have that person that helps you stay accountable to training and will check in with you. And you have a resource that you can ask questions to and will be very responsive and just basically be your personal running companion, assistant, coach. So those are the main three options for coaching programs or training plans. I think that pretty much covers it for a new runner. But if you have any questions, please feel free to message me on Instagram at oneclassofrunner. And you can also feel free to email me direct Nikki Tamburino at gmail.com. That's NICKY.TAMBERRINO at gmail.com. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Let me know if you want more episodes like this, and I will talk to you next time. As always, thank you for listening to Maybe Running Will Help and supporting the show. Don't forget to follow, like, share, and review us on your favorite streaming platform. Until next time, I'm Nikki Tamburino. Keep running, keep inspiring, and keep sharing how maybe running will help. Have a great run, everybody.
footage up, you can't ignore it. I'm transforming now, these cars and planes, I'm always boarding. Just out touring down in Charlotte like I play for Hornets. When I'm performing, never boring, now you can't afford it. Champagne, Perrier, finished friends on my face. Looking like I'm from the deep, these no Cartiers. Pockets deep, 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 bro. I can make it in my seat, bro. Do you, I'm doing me, bro. Making noise, use a beat, bro. Thought I'd never make it like no way. I'm the real deal, no role play. My days off, that's no days. No, I hustle hard, yeah, I'm rosé. E be the shooter, that's cold case. Those on the deals, that's brosé. Got no pay, yo, no say. Okay, this the news, tell them read it. Been the one since the fetus. Don't sleep on me, Tempur-Pedic. That's a no, no, no. Spending dope for no reason. Got a ball head, Mr. Clean. Heard the big bags overseas, then we gon' go, go, go.
Whoa, whoa. I press the button and it.